In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There's a possibility, in fact, I think a good possibility, that you'll be upset by this sermon. There's your little disclaimer, okay? Because Jesus, a number of times in the Scriptures, is known to upset rich people, and by nearly every standard of living in the world, all of us in here are rich. You probably remember when the rich young man came up to Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know the commandments, honor your father and mother, so forth." He says, "Well, I've kept all those." And Jesus says, "Well, there's one thing you're lacking. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me." And guess what? That young man was upset. And he had a right to be, right? And we may be upset too as we talk about greed tonight. But hopefully, you'll be just upset enough that you'll once again repent and turn and follow Jesus. And then and only then in Jesus, see, will we find our true happiness. The rich young man isn't the only time Jesus talks about greed. This kind of surprised me, but once I thought about it, it's true that Jesus denounces greed more than any other sin, any of the other seven sins. He talks about greed the most. So that would suggest to us, hey, this is probably pretty serious. And yet the funny thing about us is that we don't actually take greed all that seriously. And in fact, in America, because of our economy, our capitalist economy, we have even turned greed into a good thing. It's a virtue. We say we have to be greedy. We have to be spending money because this is how our economy works. It's how it grows, right? And if the economy isn't doing so well, what do? We give people money, a stimulus, right? Be greedy, people. Fix our economy. Spend some money. So it's easy for us to start to think, you know, greed isn't all that bad. And so we'll focus on other sins, the big sins like lust or adultery or drugs or whatever, you know, or the dreaded intolerance. Those are the big sins. But greed, I mean, come on. But how about this? I think it's kind of funny. If we took Jesus' words on greed seriously, if we really took them seriously, we would be just as appalled at TV shows like The Price is Right, or Deal or No Deal, or whatever other game show, right? We would think those were just as horrible as whatever movie came out that's full of sex and violence. Right? Oh, but they're just harmless game shows, right? What about Jeopardy? Oh, man, right? This is where I might upset people, right? But this is the truth if we take Jesus' words seriously. Why do we give greed a pass? Why do we say, oh, it's no big deal? Jesus thought it was a big deal. And Paul says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So why do they think greed's so bad and we don't? Well, because greed, you see, is a fake. It's a pretender. It pretends and fakes that it will bring you happiness and all good things, joy and all good things, but it doesn't. We say, oh, if I can just earn a little more money, then I'll get there, right? If I can just get that new furniture, that new TV, or if I can just get my retirement investment to seven figure, then it'll all be good. But woe to us, right? Because here's what happens. The more we have, the more we want. And the more we have, then the more we worry about the stuff we have. And the more we have, then the more we stress about keeping what we have and taking care of what we have. The more we have, the more we get scared of losing it. And it's a vicious circle, and I know every one of you has experienced it. It's a vicious circle when we cannot wait to purchase whatever that thing is, be it new phone, new furniture, whatever, new TV. We cannot wait to get it. But then when we get it, about a week later, what happens? We don't even care about it anymore. Greed is vicious. Many of you, I wonder what age you have to be to know this word, but many of you know the word miser. That's what they used to call a penny pincher, was a miser. And that's pretty funny, a person who hoards their money, right? They're not going to spend it on anything. They're a miser. Well, where did the word miser come from? I had to look it up. It just comes from the fact that a miser is miserable. They're in misery. That's why we call them a miser, because being greedy is miserable. Greed pretends that we're gaining everything, right? The world is all coming to us. But in fact, what it's doing is we're losing ourselves and losing God. So I want to tell you a little story. Some of you may know it, but it's not a scripture story we talk about a lot, okay? This is the story of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, 1 Kings chapter 21. King Ahab, if you don't remember, as far as kings go, like good king to bad king, King Ahab is way down. He's very wicked. And his wife Jezebel is even more wicked than him. Well, next to King Ahab's palace in Samaria was this beautiful vineyard just outside his palace. And this vineyard belonged to Naboth. And King Ahab decided, I want that vineyard. He says, I'm going to buy that vineyard and I want to plant a really nice vegetable garden there. So he goes to Naboth and he says, hey, I want your vineyard. I want to plant myself a garden there. So he says, you can sell it to me, or I'll go buy you a different vineyard and we can trade. What would you like to do? Right? But either way, I want that vineyard. And Naboth says, sorry, King Ahab, but my fathers gave this vineyard to me. I don't want to sell it. Well, King Ahab goes back to his palace like a little toddler, and he's moping around, and he won't even eat. He's so upset because he wants that vineyard that they can't even get him to eat. So finally, his wife Jezebel, she says, what are you doing? I'll get that vineyard for you. So she writes letters to all the elders in the town and says, we want you to call for a fast. And you put Naboth right at the head of it. And then when he's there for everybody to see, then you have two guys come in and accuse him of cursing God and the king. And they do it. Naboth is there at the fast. They bring two guys in. They accuse him. And all the people in the town take Naboth outside and stone him to death. King Ahab gets his vineyard. Now, what do you think God had to say about that? God sent Elijah the prophet to Ahab and says, hey, God saw what you did there, right? And you're not going to get away with it. And he says, Ahab, the dogs will lick up your blood. How's that for vengeance, right? And Jezebel the same. But what makes this so interesting for us is as Elijah's talking to him, two times these words to King Ahab. He says that Ahab sold himself. He sold himself to do what was evil. That's the problem with greed. It promises us all this gain. If I can just get that vineyard, but in the end, we end up selling ourselves. So let me tell you then another little story about Jesus. King Ahab sold himself, but Jesus spent himself. See, you know what the antidote to greed is? If you're greedy, you know what the cure for that is, the antidote is? Is giving, generosity. And that's, of course, what Jesus, our Savior, is. He came down to earth and he had everything. He had all the kingdom of heaven. And he spent it all. He went around place to place, person to person, just spending himself, teaching, healing, blessing, feeding. Now, you and I are greedy, and we will be to some degree until we get to heaven. But Jesus knows this, and so he comes down, spends his entire self to buy us. That's not greed. That's love and generosity. See, for on our end, we think happiness will come by possessing stuff, getting stuff. But it doesn't. True happiness and joy comes from being possessed, from being His, from Him buying us back from sin and death. So this kind of helps us to take a load off. Okay, Our life does not consist in possessing things. Our life consists in being possessed by Him. And when you know that, you know, I have nothing to worry about. I don't have to take care of all this stuff because He is taking care of me. Now, in America, I am very, very aware that it is hard to avoid greed. It is very hard. Okay, as I said, our economy runs on it, but the other thing is advertising, and you all know this because you see it every day on the TV, on your phone, on the radio, on the newspaper, on the side of the road while you're driving. Everywhere you are told, hey, you need this, or buy this. This will make you happy. This is what you've been missing in your life. So I know it's hard. But in Christ, you're given new life, and you can fight this good fight against greed. And the biggest way you can do it is simply by giving. Giving as you've been given to in Jesus. And we all know, I mean, we all say this, that it's more blessed to give. We know that, but there's something else here. See, when you have all your stuff and you've got this tight grip on it, giving helps you to loosen the grip a little bit. And you say, oh, I can do without all of this. In fact, I can give some of it away and still God is going to take care of me, right? And of course, that starts with giving to the church, but it's more than that. I'm not just talking about offerings. I'm talking about spending ourselves and what God has given us for others. And it's a joy, and it's an antidote to greed. Now, the other thing I would commend to you besides giving is simply to say no. And this is very practical advice, but it's so important. You know, just say no. You know, don't have 10 shopping apps on your phone. That might help a little bit, right? Don't watch all the ads. Turn the TV off, you know, turn your phone off. Or, this is something I read in a book for this, and I thought it was just wonderful. He says, wouldn't it be heroic? Wouldn't it just be nothing short of absolutely heroic if we were able to say these words? Thank you, but I'm satisfied. Thank you, but I'm satisfied. Right? Hey, here's, you know, you need this new phone, the latest phone. We'll even buy back your old one. Thank you, but I'm satisfied. You need this new car. It's got all the latest safety features, all the latest gadgets, controls, right? You need it. Thank you, but I'm satisfied. Or what if we could say, yes, I can afford this, but you know what? I don't really need it. I already have plenty. That would be a real American hero. And truth is, that's the kind of hero I would wish I could be for my children, so that they would learn that kind of contentment and satisfaction. And I bet a lot of you would like to be that hero for others as well. Greed is self-defeating, and it's also, of course, a sin. But this is why we're here tonight on Ash Wednesday, to once again turn to Christ and say, Jesus, you are my true joy. You are my contentment. You are my satisfaction. And outside of you, I don't need anything more. And Christ is slow to anger, and He is always abounding in mercy. Finally, before I close, as we do all these seven sins this Lent, I would remind you that this is why during Lent, traditionally, people have done things to help against kind of things like greed. They've done things like fasting, praying, giving. So I commend them to you once again this year. Maybe this Lent, you decide to give something extra, right? To let go of that grip a little bit of greed. Or maybe you might decide to fast from shopping, something like this. Or you might decide to fast from certain foods to combat gluttony, which we'll talk about later. Or you might consider praying the litany every day to combat pride, which we'll talk about later. But whatever you do, most of all know that that's not the answer. The answer is never our work. The answer is Jesus. He is the only one who has been beyond all greed and absolutely giving and spending of Himself so that you and I can have everything we need. In Jesus' name,